Would remain standing, and we're going to say our scripture together today, which is the Lord's Prayer. I'll give just a moment for the praise team to get down so they're able to join us. The Lord's Prayer is something we say every Sunday in the 11 o'clock service, and it has meaning, and it's important. And I want, one of the reasons I grew up in a church where we would say it on and off, but there are many places where I've known people would say the Lord's Prayer, and it was just something they said out of repetition, and they didn't really think about it. And I want us to understand and think about, look into that today in depth. But let's begin by saying it together. It'll be on the screen. It'll also be in your bulletin if you want to read there, either one. But please, let's share that together right now. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the ways that you speak to us. And we ask right now that as we look into your scripture, we get intimate understanding of what you intended, not only to your disciples, but to everyone who has ears to hear when you shared this model prayer with your believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just wondering if it struck anyone else the way it did me, the first phrase of the last song that we sang. It said, in the morning, I want Jesus. Is that close? All right. And I'm just wondering, when you wake up in the morning, where are you? Not in your bed. In the morning, where are you in terms of your mind? Where are you in terms of preparation for your day? Where are you mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Think about that for a moment. This prayer, whether it's in the morning or any other time, I believe can help us be at the place God wants us to be at any given point in time. It's not just some words to say. There's meaning there that Jesus intended to carry us throughout our lives. So, the model prayer, it's important for us to know it, but not just to know it, know the words, know where it is in Scripture, but to know the meaning, know the impact it can have directly on our lives. And so I want to go verse by verse and look at how God wants us to be able to connect to him through this prayer that Jesus the Son shared as an example. We start with verse 9. And verse 9 says, Our Father which art in heaven. And I love this. I say it every time I get a chance. But you know, Father, the way it's interpreted here, is not simply Father, but it can be translated in the Greek also as Daddy. It's an intimate connection. It means more than simply God the Father, the one who created everything. And yes, we're to acknowledge that and we're to know that, and we don't take anything away from that. But as we approach God the Father, we're also supposed to recognize the intimacy, the closeness that we have an opportunity to have. And if we do that, we begin to realize the character of who God is. Our Father, which art in heaven. And we relate to him. And not everybody on earth is able to have and be blessed with a Father who loves and cares for them and serves as a Father in the way that they should. But every one of us has a Heavenly Father who does. We have a Heavenly Father who exhibits patience and mercifulness and forgiveness and love. And one who's also all-knowing. And we need those characteristics in our lives. We need a Father in our lives. And you know, if you have a earthly father, to have one that does that makes a world of difference, literally, in the way you're able to live your life. All of us have an earthly father that does that, and when we acknowledge that, when we know that, when we relate to our heavenly Father as it was intended, it makes a difference in our lives. So it's not just the beginning of the prayer. It's an acknowledgement of the greatest relationship you can ever have. Our Father. And then if you continue, verse 9, thy kingdom come. What's the rest of that? Thy kingdom come what? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we're saying we want thy kingdom to come. Have you ever had the question, you ever asked to yourself, I wonder what God's will is for my life? I wonder what God wants me to be doing? This part of the scripture gets to that. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You want God to be in control of things down here the way he has control of things in heaven, right? You think that would make things better? Nobody? Anything? Yes or no? It would. So, that begins when you say that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Does it mean that we just sit back and watch and see what happens? We're to actively be a part of what's going on, even if it's listening to Crickets Chirp. But thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're called to be a part of that. We're to pay attention to that. We're to know what God's will is. And the scripture, we talked last week about the importance of knowing scripture and reading the Bible. The Bible begins to get us there. But then we don't just sit back and say, thy kingdom come. You do it, God. God wants us to be a part of it. Next, bread. Oh, we love to talk about bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's not just talking about bread. It's talking about anything we need or want in our lives. Another way that almost every commentary puts it is talking about provision, things that you need in your life. And it also carries over into things that you want. If I had time, I would have had a list for you to fill out, but we don't have time for that. So I want you to just think in your mind right now, what are three things you want? Just be anything. Three things you want. New shoes. I want a vehicle when my Jeep breaks down. I want, come up mine really quickly. I want a coat because I don't have a coat when it's getting cold. My zipper broke on the one I've got. And I want... what's one other thing I want? I want a pair of sunglasses, okay? Because I don't have sunglasses. They broke too. So those are things that I may want. There's also things that we need. I may say I'm going to need a vehicle once my Jeep breaks down, unless Christy's going to escort me around everywhere I need to go. But I want us to think for a moment, those things that you wanted, no matter how big or how small, what would it be like if you included God in all those decisions? Now, if you go back and you're thinking, Greg, you're actually going to ask God about what sunglasses you need to have? It doesn't make a lot of sense. I can just go and buy like I always do the 99-cent pair at the dollar store. That's why I don't have them very long, probably. But if we pray constantly about things we want, for example, the sunglasses, maybe he doesn't want me to get them 99-cent ones anymore. Maybe there's some reason I need another. And in the midst of that and getting what I want, God wants me to pray about that, and he leads me in the midst of that to something that's much bigger than simply getting sunglasses. There's a person that I know recently. They wanted a garage. And they weren't sure how they were going to get it. They had conversation with their wife, and the wife really did not like it because the wife thought it was going to be an eyesore. So they kept thinking about whether or not they should do this. They figured out how they could get the money to do it. They actually went so far as to talk to somebody about how much it was going to cost to have it, and figuring out how to install, and had conversations with the wife about, well, where we could put it here. It wouldn't be seen very much. And just carried on. And I actually had a conversation with this person and said, have you prayed about it? And he looked at me with this funny look. Really? I said, yeah. You're saying you're struggling. You don't know whether this is something that's really going to happen or not. And you're saying you really want it. You think it can make a big difference. It could actually help get some stuff out of the house. It could help protect your cars. You're just seeing it as a good thing. But at the same time, your wife isn't so sure about it. You don't want to cause problems in your marriage by going and doing that. Why don't you pray about it? He said, I think I will. So he went back and he began to pray. And I said, if you pray, I believe God will want to reveal to you what the right thing is to do. And if it's something you're supposed to have, and your wife is a part of this process, she'll become to where she'll be more understand too. And it won't be a fight in that way. God can become, it's a bigger picture. It's bigger than simply the garage. That's what God's provision is about. Children want lots of things. Noah didn't have any problem with coming up that list of three. He had 10 before I got my first one. But am I going to give him every single thing that he wants? God isn't going to give us everything we want. But Noah and I have conversations about what he can have and why he can't. God desires to do the same thing with us and help us to see why this is important and why this may not be a time to have this thing that we want, and so on. So we ask God to provide for us, but we need to realize that God knows more than we do. Another thing here, how often does this happen? Give us this day our bread. What kind of bread? Daily bread. So if this prayer is going to work the way it was intended, we're talking about provisions, and we're talking about them on a regular basis, and we aren't necessarily going to God and saying a once-a-year prayer that we need. We go daily. And it makes a difference when you have that conversation on a daily basis. We need to understand that, and I could preach another whole sermon on that aspect of it, but I'm not. Just know that God desires us to be engaged in what we're talking about today with Him on a daily basis. Verse 12, forgive. We need, forgive us our sins. So, the scripture in verse 12 says, in what we've got here, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to go off and do a little bit of theology for a minute. How many of you have ever heard something different than forgive us our debts? What else have you heard? Forgive us what? Forgive us our trespasses. I can't tell you the number of times I'm up leading the Lord's Prayer and I stumble over that because I know I've said it both ways. I hear other people saying it both ways. So just interjection there. I went and I spent some time studying this. And I tend to say trespasses more than I do debtors. But I went back and looked. I could not find trespasses in Scripture, in the Scripture anywhere in this. Looked in 25 different versions of the Bible. And if anybody can look in your Bible and that, if it says trespasses anywhere, I'd like to see it. But I went and looked, and I found out that it began, John Wycliffe in 1395 had debtors. And that's how the scripture was. But then in 1526, a guy by the name of William Tyndale put in trespasses. And that was referred to in some ways, and it got put in the Book of Common Prayer. That's why we know it. That's why we hear it. There's a Book of Common Prayer that says trespasses. Now, I don't think it's wrong, but that was eye-opening to me, and it was revealing to me. So if you see the Lord's Prayer using trespasses somewhere in Scripture, I want you to bring it to me. But it's changed the way I've looked just in doing this and preparing the Scripture. So I learned something, and I'm passing it on to you. But regardless, it doesn't matter whether you use debtors. It doesn't matter whether you use trespasses. Really what it means is that we're to forgive others of their sins so that we may be forgiven our sins. Don't get hung up on the debtors and trespasses thing. That was just something I threw in there for you. We need to regularly, daily even, take account. Are there people that you're annoyed with? Are there people that are getting under your skin because of things they've done that were not right, that they need to be forgiven for? If you have unforgiveness in your life, you're not going to be able to receive forgiveness from God in the way that you need to. Scripture says it in more than this place. Forgiveness is important, and Jesus put it there. Then forgiveness, it leads directly into sin. But then I have a question here, because it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you think God leads us into temptation? You know what Scripture says? Don't lead us into temptation. Nobody thinks God leads us into temptation. Y'all are smart. Because God doesn't. Some people may take this and try to turn it around and say it is, but that doesn't coincide with what the Scripture really means. And as you take time and you study it, really what this is talking about is God, don't allow us, don't permit us to sin. Give us strength and power that comes from you to overcome the temptation that we face with sin. So it's not that God causes us to sin, but this prayer is asking that God give us power and ability beyond our own not to give in to those sins. You know what the sins are you give in to. I don't have to sit here and try to list them and tell them to you. You know what they are. And if you pray about them every morning when you get up or every time when you have that time set apart, it gives you ability. It gives you power. It gives you strength beyond your own to make different choices during the day. And then verse 13, the rest of that. But deliver us from evil. Some say the evil one. Spiritual protection. We talked about this last time too. Satan is real. And sometimes we just don't pay attention to it. We don't acknowledge. We'll pray to God. We talk about Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. We do our quiet time. But then going throughout the day, Satan is a part of the world that we live in. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to know that. And we need to ask God to be a part of helping us, to protect us from his temptations, from his influence every single day. It would be nice if we could just say a prayer and say, God, don't ever let Satan be a part of my life again. But it doesn't work that way. You could say that and you could mean it, but still to do that would be to turn yourself into a puppet and not make those choices yourself. It would be like Caleb coming to me and saying, Daddy, you just decide for the rest of my life everything I'm supposed to do. You decide where I'm supposed to go to college. You decide what I'm supposed to eat. No. Caleb's got to grow up. Caleb's got to learn. Caleb's got to make decisions. We aren't going to develop a relationship with God if we don't continually go to God on a daily basis and seek him. To just sit down and say, God, do everything for me is a cop-out. It's lazy. Now, we need to be a part of making that decision and ask God to be a part of it every single day. And this prayer gives us an example of that. My last question, what difference does a prayer make? Wrapping this up really quickly. What difference does a prayer make? What difference does it make if you acknowledge every day that you have a relationship with the God of the universe that you can call Daddy? Does it make a difference in your life if you were able to do that every day? How about if you recognize that you're participating in God's kingdom? That what you're doing during a day isn't just because your boss told you to, isn't just to check things off your list, but what you're doing is actively participating in the kingdom of God. Does that make a difference? How about praying for the things you want and need? Would that change what you desire? Would that change maybe the way you felt about things you had and didn't have? I have a feeling that there's some of us that are going to go to West Virginia this weekend, and God's going to use our trip there to kind of put things in perspective for some of us that have been thinking there's some things we needed that maybe we didn't. And we see the challenges and just helping us to see what is important. How about if we could actually live and be more forgiving and confess our shortcomings? Would that change our lives and the lives of those around us? What if we could do a better job of avoiding sin because we ask God to be a part of our daily choices? And finally, what if we really did claim power over Satan? That movie, what was it that we saw here? War Room. I was going to say Prayer Room. War Room. If you saw that, there was an example where a lady came and she was distraught. Her marriage was being pulled apart. God, she just wanted to see God and wanted God to be a part of it. But at the same time, she recognized Satan was in the midst of that. And so she had a conversation with Satan and basically kicked Satan out of her house. Verbally. Walked out the front porch and told him to get the you-know-what away from her. We can do that. In the name of the Lord, we can do that. Now, you have to believe it when you do it, and you have to give him the power, and you have to realize it's going to change your life. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make it easy. But we're able to do that. Is your life going to change? Can prayer make a difference? Absolutely. And if at times you're not sure how or what you're supposed to pray, use this, and I believe God will show you exactly how to be specific, not just to say the Lord's Prayer and say, okay, I've included all those things I've talked about, but have time to talk about it. And you may get to the point that you're talking about things you want to need, and maybe you get stuck there because God wants to reveal something to you. Maybe it's something where you're touched at the point where it's talking about the temptations, and you realize there's a temptation in your life that's keeping you from being able to be the person God wants you to be. And so you spend time there, and God helps you figure out how to combat that differently. This isn't a prayer just to repeat from memory. It's a prayer to understand how it relates to your life. And it does it individually for every single one of us if we will let it. This is just the beginning of understanding what prayer is about. But I figured the way Jesus prayed was a good place to start. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. And I'm going to invite you. I wonder what your prayer life is like. It really fit again with that song. What were the words, Linda? Give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Now, I know some people aren't morning people, so you get up in the morning, it's just not a good time. But whenever you do start getting your act together, whether it's in the morning when you're waking up, whether it's your first cup of coffee, maybe it's 10 o'clock in the morning when you finally realize what the day's going to be, give it to Jesus. And then throughout the day, keep allowing that to happen. That's why we're here. That's why we're created. We weren't created simply to do a job that for our boss that are to be the boss of a bunch of other people. But in the midst of doing those things and praying the prayer, we can see how God uses that to accomplish His desire in our lives. Those are tools to help us be the person to be a part of the kingdom in the way God wants us to be. Are you willing to do that? If you do that, I don't think you'll experience the burnout. I don't think you'll experience all of the frustration in a way a lot of times we do in the world, because we're able to see something the world can't. And in the midst of struggles, in the midst of challenges, we see God at work, and we can be thankful for that. And then we draw other people into that as well, and we bring joy and hope and peace to them where they can't find it any other place. That's the power of prayer. Let's stand together and sing, "Respond as you would lead." I'll be here to receive any decisions, any prayers. If you desire to pray with me, I'll be here.